changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more.
Starting in January, I've got several clients, speaking clients, who have hired me to speak on the idea of how to drop stress and to gain focus. I think you would agree that right now stress is at an all-time high in our world, that people are more stressed than ever before, and there's a number of very good reasons for that. And I don't want to get too much into that, but more importantly, we're going to talk over the next several weeks various techniques that we can use to drop stress and to gain focus. I've noticed that those are the two things that we really, really want and need to do, because if we're stressed, it's difficult to accomplish things, it's difficult to feel good, et cetera, et cetera. So today I'm going to talk about the concept of stress. Tomorrow I'm going to talk about the concept of focus. And then we're going to talk about ways to begin to drop our stress and to increase our focus. One of the things that I have committed to for the upcoming year is to go back to practicing transcendental meditation twice a day. TM is the hardest type of meditation, in my opinion, there is, for a number of reasons. One of them is that you are supposed to close your eyes. It's actually, it's funny because when I used to do meditation like in ministerial school and teach it, we would say, close your eyes to remove outside distractions. Well, listen, the inner distractions are far more permeating and rampant than the outer distractions. TM has you close your eyes, which is where all of the inner distractions are. And it also has you just simply repeat a mantra over and over and over again, which makes your brain just fatigued. It irritates your mind. It bores your mind, more so than doing other mindfulness things. And I decided to do this for several reasons. One, I was listening to Paul McCartney talk about that he has been doing that same type of meditation for over 50 years, and that by having a practice, a daily practice, as opposed to a variety of different things that I approach, I feel that the discipline is far better for me. You know, it's like Muhammad Ali would always get up and run around a golf course. If he could find a golf course, he would run around a golf course. And so that was his practice. For me, I think TM would be a very, very good practice. And the other thing was, when I was in Bali speaking at a yoga retreat, there was a guy there, famous yoga teacher, can't remember his name. Anyway, this guy doesn't allow yoga mats. You do yoga on hardwood floors. And it was so hard on my body. And yet what I noticed was that after just a few of his classes, even though I was sore, my joints like were moving so much better. They were opened up. In other words, the more difficult it was, the better it was for me. So all of that to say, that's why I'm reigniting my transcendental meditation practice. When I first started TM, I never missed. I went almost a year without missing. And the problem I find is that, or what happened for me was, and I'm not blaming her, it was my fault, but my wife at the time, she stopped doing it twice a day, or she would miss every now and then. And as a result, I would go, well, I'll miss too. That's the downside of having an accountability partner. You always want an accountability partner who's way more accountable than you. And she did. I'm sure she caught her own meditations up, but because we weren't doing it together, I sort of fell off the wagon. So back to transcendental meditation. Let's talk about stress. Do you feel stressed? If you feel stressed, type yes in the comments section. Yeah, we all feel it. Many people feel it more so than others. One of the things that we fail to take into account when we consider stress is that some people's natural stress level is higher than others. And I shouldn't say the word natural. I should say normal. Although, It is caused by things that have preceded in our lives, such as abuse in a relationship, abuse as a child, neglect, hard things that have happened, trauma, the loss of a parent or the loss of a child or the loss of a spouse can cause many of us, and I say us because I have experienced a lot of things that cause my stress level to naturally be way higher than most people's, which is why my approach to beginning to diminish stress is so important to me. Many people start at a much higher level of stress. So if we're going to put stress in a 1 to 10 category, and you might say, oh, mine is a 9, I want you to get that it would be at a 1 or a 2 in an ideal life. However, family and history can jack you up to a 3 or 4. From there on, the everyday occurrences of life can move you up to a 5 or a 6. And then you've got social media, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So today, by the way, I'm going to give you one piece of advice to help you reduce stress. And I'm going to tell you, there is not a bit of this advice that I'm going to give you that your ego is going to like. Your ego is going to fight me every step of the way, because your ego wants you stressed. Your ego wants you frightened, because that is how your ego, which is your alternate self, and we're going to talk more about this in one of the sessions, one of the jumpstarts upcoming. Your ego wants you on edge. It's easier to control you when you're on edge. Okay? It's easier to control you. So let's get very elemental. What is stress? Well, stress is a physiological and mental reaction to emotional things. I just made that up. but I would say that's pretty darn good. Stress is something we feel in our bodies, and it is caused by how we perceive our world. What we see in our world. If you knew that something potentially very hurtful was going to happen day after tomorrow, you would be very, very stressed and upset. But if you also found out that today was your last day and you weren't going to get there, wouldn't be so stressed about it. Perspective is what drives our stress level. I want to say it was Alfred Adler, and I should research this. Someone can probably tell me, but it was someone in the 1940s, if I'm not mistaken, who came up with the idea of stress, and he did not say the term stress. He used two words, distress and eustress. Not eustress like YouTube, Y-O-U, eustress as in E-U, as in, I forget what it means, eustress. It means to aspire stress. It means, I know the definitions. Let me explain it this way. Distress means, oh my God, I'm in distress, fight or flight mode. And that's what we tend to think of when we think of stress. Oh my God, I'm in fight or flight mode. There is this distance between me and being safe. All right. There is also, according to this person, what is called eustress, which is the gap between where you are and your potential. And that is a good kind of stress. In other words, human beings are meant to be under stress. We are meant to understand that we're doing the best we can, and yet we also can do better and should be doing better in every area of our life. And that stress is there designed to drive us forward, which drives society forward, right? It's the idea that we all want to earn more money so we can have more things, but to get there, we've got to serve other people in bigger, better, more unique ways. And in that process, it keeps us moving forward. This is something that drives us. I was thinking so much about this morning. If I won the lottery, what would I do? I would continue to do what I'm doing because I want to see 70 million people take the complaint-free challenge. 78 million actually is where we are now. Our goal is 78 million people. That's 1% of the world's population. Can you imagine if just 1% of the world's population, my stress, my driving stress, is to get that 1% to take the challenge. My distress is feeling that I'm not doing a good enough job in that area or other areas of my life. For so many years, we had this concept, both in business and in children, that the best way to motivate and inspire someone was to give them minimal admiration and maximum criticism. It would drive them. Never let the person feel like they're doing good enough. Always make the person feel like he or she is lacking. Always make the person feel like there's something wrong with them. And when they do well, then diminish that because you don't want them to get a big head, right? Well, that is a surefire recipe for the distress that we feel right now. Take a second and ask yourself where you feel stress in your body. If you feel stress, where do you feel it? I often feel it in my shoulders, sometimes in my toes, sometimes in my wrist, definitely in my jaw. I find myself clenching my jaw or grinding my teeth. We all have that. And I want you to remember that the economy is driven by fear. Why did I jump into that? Because the economy is driven by fear. Because our job in the economy is to be producers and consumers. And the more fearful we are, the more we produce in an attempt to gain safety, and the more we consume, because it's when we consume things, we get that endorphin rush. Let's talk for a minute about the physiological things about stress. When you are under stress, your body produces cortisol. What is cortisol? Cortisol is called the stress hormone. Cortisol tells your body to shut down your normal biological functions, such as digestion, and it also causes the body to make your breathing change. It changes the pacemaker about your with your breathing, and it shortens and narrows your breathing. I always say it keeps it in this range instead of in this range, okay? It's in here rather than way up in here. Your breathing becomes shallow. As a result, your brain reacts and goes, I'm afraid. What am I afraid of? What's wrong? Your body triggers your mind. Your mind triggers your body. You're a loop of stress, especially if you have post-traumatic stress disorder like me, especially if you have borderline personality disorder, or especially if you've just gone through significant trauma or pain in your life or are going through it now. And exposing yourself to the media causes this. So your body literally goes into a survival mode. As a result, cortisol causes us to feel stress in our body, but also it can make us fat because we no longer digest properly. If you've got digestion problems, chances are a lot of it is stress. It causes us to gain weight. It causes us to increase our high blood pressure. Heart rate increases. It basically, I think of stress as like a car with a manual transmission, and you are stomping the accelerator at the same time you are stomping the clutch. In other words, it's not engaged, but it's racing, and you're going to blow the engine. And that's what stress is. Now, the opposite of stress, what causes us to relax and feel good, is the hormone endorphins. We're running into limited time here. The people who have hired me to present this, I have asked me to do it over a 2-hour period. So what we're going to do is spread this jumpstart out over several weeks. However, I wanted you to get an idea that stress is very damaging to your life, to your success, to your mental health, and that it is a loop caused by your body and by your brain. So I'm going to give you two things to do today. you need to exercise to the point of having trouble speaking. In other words, you have difficulty carrying on a conversation with someone. Any form of exercise will give you that. Walking, being in the gym. I mean that you can talk to somebody, but it's a little difficult to keep it going. In other words, your body is at that level. And if you can get your body at that level for 20 minutes, you kick the endorphins off, which cause the cortisol to go down. You literally are releasing a whole new set of drugs to take care of the drugs you've released in your body. That's number one. Number two, where's my darn phone? Here it is, this thing. First thing I look at in the morning, not the last thing I look at night. However, 10, 2, and 4, guys. Check your phone at 10 a.m., 2 p.m., and 4 p.m. Those are Dr. Pepper times. If you were a kid back in the 60s, Dr. Pepper used to come with a bottle with a little triangle on it with 10, 2, and 4. You took a Dr. Pepper at 10, 2, and 4 because it had more caffeine than other soft drinks, and it was the original energy drink. They find that from meals, people tend to have lulls at 10, 2, and 4. And so people were recommended, there goes my phone, it was recommended that people take or drink a Dr. Pepper at 10, 2, and 4. I want to encourage you to join me. Check your phone. It's 10 a.m., 2 p.m., and 4 p.m. So that's two things immediately I'm recommending to help you drop stress and gain focus. And that is number one, stop checking your phones constantly. You're doing it thousands of times a day, and it's designed to distract you and to make you unhappy. And number two, get out today and exercise to the point where it's a little difficult keeping up a conversation with somebody else, all right?
No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating. Complain-free world, no more, no more complaining people, their lives are changing.